And he sees God act, and he goes to Paul and he says, actually, it's not Paul, that was John. He goes to him and he says, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Again, really simple, right? Believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. Well, the thing is, though, there's more to it. In fact, if you keep going in that passage of Acts 16, if you go to verse 32, it says, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him with all who were in the house. So they didn't just leave it with, believe in Jesus and you'll be saved. They continued on with, well, and here's what you now need to do. Here's how you now need to live your life. That we need to live in obedience. In fact, we see that in Romans 10, 9, and 10, but we kind of gloss over it at times, because what it says is, confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. In other words, he has absolute, complete control. But we don't really, you know, think about that when we're in the process of really accepting Jesus. But yet, that's what his requirement is. He wants to be Lord. He wants it to be one that's absolutely, totally in control of your life. And that is his expectation. In Luke 9, verse 23 through 24, this is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to the crowd, and he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. So there's rather quite a bit more to salvation than just the easy peasy, this is all you have to do. Because there's a whole lot more to it than that. Taking up your cross, denying yourself. And that is God's expectation, that we live that way. That we live in obedience. We live in obedience. John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. So God expects obedience. Not just the, oh yeah, I accepted Jesus as a little kid and so now I'm saved. I have to tell you, in the last month or so, I have really been thinking through that one. A little kid, 5, 6 years old, you know, we had some at VBS this week. Accept Jesus as your Savior. They don't know what they're doing. They really don't. And it's up to the adults around them to then help them to understand and help them to grow up that way. And some of you may have even done this, where you get to the point where maybe you're a teenager, a little bit over, and you call it a rededication of your life, right? And I think really more what that is, it's, oh, now I get it. Now I get it. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is the kind of life I'm supposed to live. I think I shared this story with you a couple weeks ago. We had been attending a house church when I was on sabbatical, and the guy that pastors that was going to meet with a man who had lost his wife after like 60 some years or something, and he wasn't a believer, she was. And of course, now he's kind of in that position of he's wondering, asking the questions, and he met with Bill, and then Bill talked to him and, you know, shared, you know, about Christ and here's what you need to do. But it was very interesting, because one of the things that Bill said was, I did not make it easy for him to accept Christ. Because he knew his vulnerability because of the emotions that are going on with losing his wife. So he knew from an emotional standpoint it might be real easy to accept Christ. But he said, I didn't make it easy. I wanted him to really understand, here's what it means. In fact, Jesus even talks about that, counting the cost. Counting the cost of being a believer. I talked to somebody this week that has a family member who actually was serving Christ. was smuggling Bibles into China, and now they've decided that, nope, that's not true. God isn't real. I don't believe anymore. And the response was, and now I feel so free. You know, it's sad. And you have to start wondering, I mean, when you hear those kind of things, then you think, well, okay, so were they ever saved? Because there's a lot of people that do really good things in the name of Jesus who have never been saved. You know, again, Jesus says, there's going to be a day when people come to me and they say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to go, I don't know you. I don't know you. We need to make sure we really understand what it is to be saved and what the requirements are and that it's not going to be easy. We need to learn to love. 1 John 2:15 through 17, it says, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. We need to learn to love God. We need to learn to obey God. We need to learn to love one another. Jesus said, people will know that you're my disciple for how, in the way that you love one another, in how you care for one another, how you love one another, because the world doesn't live that way. And that will speak volumes to the world. John 15 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You will live in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We need to learn to live in that love. To obey what the Bible says. Again, Jesus speaking, he says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll do what I say. Well, how do I know what Jesus said? Well, break out your Bible. He said a lot. We need to be obedient. We need to do what he says. And as we participate in communion here this morning, one of the things that Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, when he was talking to them about the Lord's Supper, this idea of examining yourself, looking inside, looking around you, what kind of a life are you living? Are you living in obedience? Are you living in love? Are you abiding in Christ? Are you loving your brother and sister like Christ did? Your brothers and sisters in the faith? Are you caring about the widows and the orphans? How is your life? How are you doing? And so that's what we're going to do this morning, is we're going to take a little extra time to examine ourselves, to evaluate. The end part of this passage, 1 Corinthians 11:27 through 32, the very last verse here, but it says, when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. In other words, God loves us so much, he's going to discipline us so that we will live correctly. I mean, those of you that have had children, have children, what's discipline for? It's to bring them in line with how they're supposed to live. And that's what God does. He will discipline us rather than lose us. He wants to discipline us so that we will live in the way that we should live. So what we're going to do this morning is we're just going to, I'm going to have you guys come up. You're going to serve yourselves communion. You can go and sit back down and partake. But what I want you to really do this morning, and we're going to have some more music going on, I want you to think through and to evaluate and to examine your lives before you participate in communion this morning, making sure that your heart is right, that your thinking is right, that you're understanding what it is to be a believer of Jesus Christ, to be a Christ one, a Christ follower. So as the worship team, you guys can come on back up. So as they're playing, I just invite you, just as you feel prepared, come on up. You can participate in it. You can take it back to your seat and take it. You can take it while you're up here, however you want to do it. Let's pray. Father God, as we participate here this morning in celebrating what you've done for us, we are celebrating the blood that was shed, Jesus' blood, your one and only Son, that perfect sacrifice. There had to be a perfect sacrifice for the death penalty because we were all under the death penalty of sin. So, Father, thank you for providing that. And we take the juice this morning and we realize that that's a representation of the blood that Jesus shed for us, the perfect innocent blood that washed us white as snow, if we're willing to accept that. The bread, which represents his body, he physically hung on that cross for us. He was beaten. He was spit on. He was cursed. He was mocked. And he was willing to do it because of love, because he loved the Father and he wanted to obey the Father, but he also loved us. Even in our sin, he loved us. So help us this morning as we participate here in communion, help us to remember what Jesus did. Help us to examine our lives and to make sure we're in that right standing with him. Maybe there's sin that needs to be confessed. Maybe there's relationships that need to be mended. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just move through this room, each individual person here, Father, that you would speak to them through your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, to be overcome by your presence. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are well. And fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so broken and poured out.
rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you, all our hope is in you, all the glory to you, God, the light of the world, Jesus Messiah. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of
in his hand, who has counted every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. All creation rises to rejoice. Behold our God seated on his throne.
Seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold our King,
Truly is just grace. Grace that we're here. Grace that we can even hear you calling to respond to you. Grace when we mess up. Grace for the strength not to mess up. Thank you for your amazing grace. Amen.
Hello, everyone. This week I got an update on Kelsey Jones and the baby. I got an update from Olivia Brooks from the famous.